It's Tuesday and it's the Football Sack Podcast. We're in the studio where we normally do the show from. It'd be different if we did it somewhere else.
It would be different.
Because we wouldn't have the recording equipment, so nobody else would hear it.
It'd just be like it's just chatting at the pub.
Yeah, and so we'd do the show, but we'd be the only ones who could hear it, or someone sitting next to us if they were eavesdropping. I'm Jack Quigley.
I'm Christian Leyland.
And this is the Football Sat Podcast. Welcome back. We're here to review a weekend's football action in the Hyundai A-League and overseas English Premier League later in the show. We saw some live football on the weekend.
We did. It was very nice.
The entire SAC team did. We were at our first game to review for the weekend, Gold Coast United against the Wellington Phoenix. Good game.
Yeah, brilliant game.
We'll talk more about the sort of club side of things in a moment, but let's just cover what happened on the park. Bruce Gite, in form, couple of goals.
Yeah, brilliant.
Should have had a hat-trick, really.
Should have had a hat-trick. Yeah, it's funny. He had two crackers of a goals, yeah. And then he missed the tap-in.
Yeah, missed the easy one. His first goal was brilliant. It was just power. His first touch was brilliant. Pushed himself away from the defender, slammed the finish in the side netting. The second goal almost took everybody by surprise, as a little back heel will kind of do. Mm-hmm. Of course, it probably would have been the best back heel of the weekend, but for Didier Drogba's for Chelsea the other night. Great to see James Brown, local product of the Gold Coast. Mm-hmm. He's from Kingscliff. We found out after the match, talking to the secretary of the Gold Coast United Supporters Club, The Beach, and he came on and changed the game.
Well, he did. He was the difference in the end. He came on, he made some crazy runs down the side, he put in some good crosses, and he even had one for himself.
He made Gite's second goal. Yes, yes. Single-handedly beat two defenders in that corner.
It was a little bit lucky, I thought. Yeah, he had two defenders in the corner. I thought he was trying to play it off them for a corner, but he actually missed them, and so the cross just went in and it ended up being a goal.
Yeah. I think, and it went through, made its way through to Pantelidis, who crossed, didn't he? He was great, and then some really soft defending allowed him to get on the score sheet as well, which was good to see. We enjoyed our time up there.
Well, I thought so. We had pretty good seats, and the atmosphere in the beach was actually really...
Yeah, we went and sat in the beach. We sort of got to our normal seats. We walked in the ground, saw where we were going to be sitting, which was sort of on the side.
On the goal
near the byline. We thought, no, nuts to this, let's go sit in the beach and get a decent view of the game. So we walked around, high quality security there at Gold Coast United, thoroughly checked our tickets.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Made our way up to the beach. We deliberately sat in the bay next to the beach, which was closed, and after about 10 minutes of the match, we were asked to just move the 2 metres across into the section that they deliberately opened. And overall, really nice atmosphere, wasn't it? And
it was.
The beach made great noise.
They did, and they had kind of a beach to the side, like a rival gang, and they were chanting at each other too.
They were too, yeah, which is great. Always generates atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, you sort of want those two sets of fans either at opposite ends of the ground or something, so they can chant back and forth rather than just being 5 meters away from each other.
It was good though, because we were right in the middle. So
that's right.
We had the best atmosphere in the ground.
Yeah, it was really good. And we were just scratching our heads as to why more people on the Gold Coast don't go and watch that team. Mm-hmm. We will sort of talk a little bit more about possible reasons. We had a chat after the match with Terry Hands, who's the secretary of The Beach, the Gold Coast United Supporters Club. Mm-hmm. And so he was telling us how on the radio up there's only one radio station who promotes Gold Coast United. He was saying how there's so much coverage for the Gold Coast Suns, which is an AFL team, which doesn't even exist yet.
Yes.
And none for their current team. And we said, the Coast, do they feel like it's not their team yet? And he said, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
But he also said that the people who go to the game, it is their team.
That's right. To the people of the Gold Coast, it's not. But the people who go to the games, it is.
Yeah.
You just need more people to go to the games. Because you do. I mean, I'm not a Gold Coast fan, but just sitting on the beach and just being part of it.
It's infectious,
right? Yeah, I felt involved. I felt that for 90 minutes, I was watching my team.
Yes, and when you're there, you think, I don't want this to leave the Gold Coast.
That's right.
I hope it stays. And for the atmosphere that was there was 3,000 there.
Yes.
And for the atmosphere that 3,000 generates in that stadium, imagine what 15,000 would do, or even 10 or 7, just a really good atmosphere is there to be had in that stadium, because it really holds the sound in extremely well. We had a chat with Scott Higgins, the backup goalkeeper.
Yeah, well, we saw him after the game, yeah, and then he went and told us something. So.
Yeah, he told us that... what did he say?
He said the people who are there at the moment are amazing. Yeah. You know,
you won't
find better fans. We just need more of them. Yeah. If we get more of those, then Skill Park will be a fortress.
Yes, and I'm sure it will be, because they're a good team. We made a video of us going up to the game, the Football Sack team, which we filmed, as you do with videos.
Yes.
And it's now available on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/thefootballsack, and also on our website.
Yes.
If you just want to go straight to thefootballsack.com, it's there on the left-hand side, I think, last time I checked.
Left-hand corner, yes.
Which also on the website, you can see a new slideshow.
Probably the two most attractive people in football.
That's right. Because we had the photographers in here last time, and there's some shots of you and I looking very professional knowledgeable.
Yeah, well, this is strange, because if you listen to us, it's
that's right. It's totally looks can story. Be deceiving. Yes. So go to the website and check out that slideshow as well. We did find out from Terry that they have a terrific thing going on up there with Miron Blyberg, where if...
I didn't know this.
Yeah, neither did I. If at any point during the match the Gold Coast get 3-0 up, or ahead by 3 goals,
yes.
Miron's got a deal going with one of the committee members of the beach, where they swap places, where the committee member goes, puts on Miron's jacket and sits on the bench, and Miron goes and stands in the beach.
With the beach cap
on. With the beach cap on, the surfers cap on, which apparently has already happened last season,
When they were beating Brisbane Roar 5-1,
that was the game.
Half happened.
Yeah.
The committee member went onto the bench, Miron let him sit next to him with his jacket,
that's
and Miron
right.
wore the cap.
Yeah,
completely swapped places.
Yeah, but Miron didn't go up to the beach. Yeah,
but apparently it's been clarified now. So if it does happen again,
3-0 up,
he goes into the beach.
Yeah, which is great. So let's hope for everyone's sake that the Gold Coast smashed 3 goals in early in their next game.
Yeah, there we go. It'll be like that Man City game against Burnley, with all 3-0 up after 5 minutes.
So that'd be brilliant. He'll have to watch 85 minutes of the match from the beach. The beach will be yelling abuse, and they won't know if it's Miron's instructions or just general abuse.
Yeah.
Speaking of abuse, one player that came in for a bit of stick was Taj Minicon.
Particularly for myself.
Didn't have a great game, did he?
His first touch was this great run, a brilliant run, which set up Bruce Jadeau's first goal.
Yeah, it was.
And then he was gash for the rest of the match.
That's a good description. Yeah. He really was. He looks like he's just really overweight at the moment, really unfit. And you know how in football you can have a tired touch, where you know your touch gets away from you because you're buggered, you weren't concentrating. Usually happens about the 85th minute.
Mm-hmm.
About 12 minutes into the game, he had his first tired touch of the evening,
and it
was the rest of his touches were tired until he was eventually replaced by James Brown, who was great.
Yeah, that's it. Well, it's actually kind of funny, because I think you said at the game, you said he's deceptively slow.
He is. He's about to put on the burners and just doesn't
happen. He looks like Matt Bowen. Without the speed.
He's a little nugget.
Because he's about the weight of that, if not heavier.
Yeah.
And I think you're saying, to be a footballer, you have to have at least one of these three things: speed, skill, or you can't be fat. You said something.
Tactical nous, I think.
That's right. Yeah, and you think well, he doesn't really have any of them. If he had one of them, he could have been a Charlie Miller.
He used to have speed.
That used to be his thing.
And amount of skill, which
has
now disappeared. So he's just. And someone out there in a Gold Coast United kit.
It's a bit of a shame, because on the show I've been shouting for him to get game time, because last time we saw him he was amazing. He was electric.
Which is probably why he hasn't been getting game time, because Miron's been seeing him like this on the training park. I'd be very surprised if he keeps his starting spot ahead of James Brown for the next game.
Honestly, if he's ahead of James Brown, I'll probably actually crack a little spaz.
Oh, really?
Oh, I don't know.
I hope he plays ahead of James Brown. We should film that and put that on Football Sack TV. I might take my boots to the next game, actually. The next game is against Adelaide. Next weekend, after the international window.
That's right, on the 17th.
It's on a Sunday, I believe.
Mm-hmm. 5 o'clock?
Yes, it is. I'm going to drive up. You're going to be driving back down from the Raw game the night before, so we'll probably meet up at the game.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else we want to cover from that game?
Not really.
No, I think that's just about it. Can I just say also, it was great after the match for... all of the Gold Coast United players came up and sort of met the beach afterwards. Sure. Came up, signed autographs, had photos, especially Jason Kolina. He was the last one to leave.
Yes.
Stayed around, shook hands with everybody who asked him to, had photos, had a nice chat to one of the kids who was playing the drum and gave him a high five. So, you know, great work from them.
Well, it was great. Like, everybody, even the subs, just came over and they spent a good, solid amount of time with the supporters, except for Jason Kolina. And we're just like, well, where is he? And then he came.
He was obviously off doing his interviews.
Yes. Yeah. He came back and, like I said, apart from Tim Cahill, I've never seen anyone spend so much time with the fans.
Yeah.
He signed everything that was thrown in front of him. He talked to everyone and shook everyone's hand. Took photos.
And was genuinely happy to do it. It was a chore, didn't he?
Yeah, no, he actually looked like... You know, you can usually tell people when they're a bit fake.
Yeah.
He was just so excited. Like, he obviously came back from the win. I think he just loves the fans. He really does. The biggest smile on his face.
Glenn Moss got a scarf put around his neck. He seemed really happy with that.
Yes.
So that was great to see. So that's the kind of stuff that, you know, connecting with the fans. If they can do that outside of the stadium during the week, then more chance to get fans in.
Well, that's the thing. You know, imagine if they go around just meet people like at shopping centres or Pacific Fair or something. Yeah. Like, you know, just once a week or once a fortnight. Yeah. You know, that'll bring people in just and people will stay.
A couple of days before each home game.
Yeah.
Go out and do a shopping centre visit.
Mm. Schools.
The Raw have opened... They've given free entry for under-15s to the next match.
Every single under-15 person is allowed to come in for free.
That's great.
And you can either order that on the phone or you just run up to the ground and they'll...
If you're under 15, you get in. Yeah. I think you'll get a seat.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about when we talk about their game. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to undoubtedly the game of the round. Although, to be honest, all four games this round were spectacular games.
In their own ways. Yeah,
really good games. Gold Coast was great. Mm-hmm. This one is so far the game of the season.
Oh, it has to be.
Central Coast
it?
Mariners 3, North Queensland Fury 2.
Mm-hmm.
Just a corker of a game. So many chances. The late winner that was coming. You could feel it coming. It was going to come at either end.
Yeah.
A bit like the Sydney-Adelaide game, which we'll cover. Just a really enjoyable game to watch. Great for the A-League. Poor old Mariners can't get a dry home game. They're just as bad as Wellington when it comes to weather for their home games. But still, a decent crowd for poor weather, and I think they'll all be coming back, because that was great watching.
It was really... It had everything that a classic game had. You know, it had comebacks, it had penalties that should have been that weren't, send-offs, plenty of goals,
late goal,
wet weather.
Fantastic game. I really enjoyed watching it.
It was brilliant. And, like, you know,
Franz Straka lost his call as well.
He did at half time. Yeah. Although I think he lost it wrongly. I don't really condone what he did.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you shouldn't touch the official. But yeah, it was still funny.
It was quite hilarious, actually. It's kind of funny, like, when the third goal was actually scored, the fifth goal, so the winner.
Yeah.
Even though there was only a minute left, I'm just like, this is the sort of game where there's going to be another equaliser. And there almost was.
Yeah, it was just they almost went straight down the other end. Which was it was just one of those games. Every time a team got the ball, you thought, oh, there's half a chance here. So the Mariners having a great season, a really good season. So let's hope for their next home game, they fill that ground or get close to it.
I just love the fact that the winner was scored by a central defender, not on a set piece. It actually worked his way up there.
Yes, he was just still standing there. Yeah. Svansvik, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Which was great to see. Of course, a lot of people assume that most of the Mariners' goals are scored by central defenders because of Daniel McBreen and that bloody number 2 shirt.
He missed a sitter, didn't he?
He did, yeah. But it's just, take off the number 2 shirt. That's a defender shirt!
You heard it here first. Jack Cooley wants McGreen out of his shirt.
Dear. It makes me yell at the TV. It just, maybe I'm obsessive compulsive, but it's those little things really bug me. Matt Simon used to wear it. Right. Carry on. Let's jump all the way across to the West Coast. Perth have really, really... gone off the boil.
That's four losses in a row.
Yeah. Club record, I believe.
It was going to be a club record if they didn't score.
They didn't score. That was it. Yeah, I knew it was something significant.
In the same way, Raw broke a club record. Oh, no, they stopped a club record. That was going to be 8 or 9 matches without winning away from home.
Oh, okay.
So they stopped that.
That's hardly a record at all.
Go support the Hammers, your point.
Yes, that's right.
Is.
Yeah, what was it? It was like 401 days between away wins for us this season. The Raw had one of those classic games where they used to do this about games at White Hart Lane. If goals were scored in the first 5 minutes or the last 5 minutes, only about 10,000 people saw it because everyone rocks up late and leaves early. The Raw scored in the second minute and got the winner in the second last minute. Sometime in between, Perth did manage to score themselves.
Well, Perth scored about 5 minutes after Raw did. So,
It was. Yeah, they did too. Yeah,
it's kind of funny. It was two games in a row where in 6 minutes it was 1-1. Two games in the week.
The Raw just continue to look good, don't they?
Well, they do. They honestly look like they're going to win 7-0.
Yeah,
they're just struggling to put the ball at the back of the net. It's funny. Like I want to yell at Ronaldo for missing so many chances, but the runs he makes off the ball. If he wasn't there, those chances wouldn't
be
created.
He's an underrated player, Ronaldo. I think
he is.
Always has been.
Yeah. If he can just get his finishing right, he will be. He could be a Shane Smeltz.
Yeah.
But
unfortunately, finishing is a big area off the strikers' arsenal, which you need to get right, and that's what separates the good strikers from the average ones. Like Sergio van Dijk, who unfortunately went off injured. In the Sydney game.
I've got to give credit where credit's due. Mitch Nichols had a great game.
Yeah, again.
Mm-hmm. 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, incredible. He's coming off the bench and getting involved, which he never used to do. The last sort of 12 months, he's had a tendency of hiding in games because of the fact he's been a little bit rubbish,
yeah.
But credit where it's due, like you say, the last couple of weeks, he has been excellent.
Yes. And he even should have got a goal, which was incorrectly ruled offside.
Yeah, terrible decision.
It wasn't even close. It was like a meter.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was not even close to being offside, which is infuriating.
Mm. So I was talking to some Perth Glory fans here on Twitter after the game and stuff, and even though it was so close to getting a draw for them, they knew it shouldn't have been.
They'd been outplayed. They probably didn't deserve anything from that game. Dave Mitchell's got his work cut out over there.
Yeah, they're not liking him at all.
No.
Not at all.
I don't think they ever have, fully, to be honest. Not the sort of coach that really fills you with confidence.
Yeah, no.
Dave Mitchell.
Well, on Twitter, people are twittering, ask the football Zach, and just going, everyone in the Glory squad and set up his class except for the coach. So.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. But then again, you say that. If it wasn't for Mitchell being coach, Fowler would never have gone over there. So,
yeah, very true.
You got to look at both sides of the picture. Although, I've got a tendency to agree with them. I'm not a big fan of Mitchell. I never have been. So, we'll see what happens.
Yes. As you like to do.
It's like my catchphrase. Yeah.
Yes. Final game of the week. I tipped the upset on the show, and
you
was talking
almost bragging about it on the Twitter.
Oh yeah, I was almost bragging about it when I was tweeting the game. Sydney took the lead. They should have had this game won, well before the end. It probably should have been sort of 3 or even 4-1. Probably should have had 3 or 4 penalties, to be honest. If you don't score, you leave yourself liable to be punished, and they were.
And that's what happened, yeah.
Lovely little winner from Ian Ramsey. Mm-hmm. Good finish.
He's having a pretty good season.
He is having a very good season. Sydney Kazarine got through a lot of work without a lot of end product.
Mm-hmm.
He's great at winning balls in the air, but doesn't generate any power from his headers. He's a knockdown header kind of winner, but no one seems to realise that, and they all just stand and watch him go for goal.
Yeah, you need someone running off.
Yeah, which is a shame. Bridge had a fantastic chance to win it. About a minute before Adelaide did, got the cross in. He was about 8 yards out, free header. The textbook tells you to head down and at the corners. Mm-hmm. He decided to go against the textbook. He went high and straight, which resulted in him not scoring and resulted in losing the game. Frustrating, and that's Sydney's season. I don't think they'll even make the finals.
Yeah, it's going to be hard.
Yeah,
they are a long way behind.
Just because losing is a habit, just like winning is, and I think they're in the losing habit now. They've forgotten how to close out a game, how to win it.
Yeah, no, fair call. It's funny, they haven't really been creating chances. This match they actually did, but
created heaps of chances. Mm-hmm. Played really well.
Like that has actually been their problem this season.
Creativity.
Because once they got Hayden Fox out of the back line, the defence wasn't as bad as it was at the start.
Yeah.
But
how much impact can Nick Carl have when he's back and fully fit? Can they scrape the finals?
It depends if he's fit straight away and how soon he clicks. Because I've got no doubt, if he clicks, he can turn the Sydney FC Tide into
a winning side. I'm sure they can. Yes. They're a good team. And I think that with him in there in place of Kazarine, they will create and, with Brosk up there, put away chances. Yeah, they just need to start doing it, because the way they're going, they're not even going to be playing in the top six.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, which is, you know, you really should be as the defending champions. You should be a given. But it's been a bit of a curse in the A-League for defending champions to miss finals.
Newcastle Jets, got the Melbourne spoon. Victory. Yeah, Melbourne victory.
Right, I think Sydney missed the finals the second season, didn't they?
No. They didn't. They got knocked out by Jets.
They did too, yeah.
I think they're leading like 2-0 or 3-0 in the first leg and somehow lost it.
They did, yeah. Milligan scored a great header from a corner. Mm. Fantastic run. He bulleted the header in. I do remember that.
Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sydney FC. Honestly, I think Carl could... He could come in and he could have a huge effect. He could be, you know, fully fit. He could be the best player in the A-League. It's just whether it's going to happen or not. It's and yeah, like I said, if they're going to run out of time, because every week they don't win...
Pressure builds. Disappointing to see such a small crowd too, because I'm not sure what the figures were. I didn't catch the figure, but just watching on TV, it didn't look that big. And you know, a perfectly sunny day. You know, the league leaders are in town. Public holiday. Yeah, just didn't make a lot of sense. No. But obviously, if they were top of the league, I think you're looking at 20,000 for that game.
Yes.
So it just goes to show that they need to sort out their on-field problems quick, smart.
No, because their off-field setup is brilliant. It's just, you know, they can't do anything with a side which is failing.
Which is faltering. Yes, it's very hard to market yourself, isn't it?
Hopefully, we can get a fair crowd for their next home game, because that's the double header.
It is. Yeah, there's
Sydney FC versus Brisbane Roar.
Yeah, and then there's a Mariners. Yeah, which you'd be nuts to think that they wouldn't get a decent crowd. I mean, you'd be nuts not to go to that game if you're in Sydney.
If you're in Sydney, for sure. You know, two games for the price of one. Two with some high quality sides. You know.
And some high quality players on show. You know, you look at Sydney and Brisbane, you're going to get good football played there, because hopefully by that stage Carl's fit. Brisbane, as we know, are playing great stuff to watch, followed by the Mariners, who have just had a corker of a game on the weekend, and Perth, who for a little while there were brilliant atop the league. So
hopefully we'll get Sydney fans, but more Sydney fans than normal, and hopefully we might even be able to get three sets of travelling fans, which would be nice.
That would be great, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Because I'm going down there.
Yeah, you're going to fly down for the game, aren't you? Which is it would be great to get. It would be a very unique experience having three sets of fans.
It would be
in a ground.
It'd be kind of like I don't know if you know in the UK, the Super League, the Rugby League. Once every, I can't remember what they call it, I've got a special name for it, but once a year, they have a big day at Wembley, where the whole round is played at Wembley, and so every side obviously plays
brings their own fans.
Yeah, and so you got, I think, don't quote me on this, but I think there's 12 sides in the Super League, might be 10.
Yeah.
So you have, they just have, so the whole stadium is just 10 different colours.
That's great, isn't it?
It's incredible.
Just a carnival atmosphere.
Yeah, and they do it every year. It's like the highlight of the season.
They do a lot of good stuff like that. Like the Super League play a game, they used to, I don't know if they still do, but they play a two-match series between the Super League and the Guinness Premiership Rugby. And they'll play one game of rugby and one game of rugby league, and they'll have
that.
An aggregate scoring winner, which is great, and that sells out.
Yes.
But anyway, we're not here to talk about sports management. That'll be in the sports management podcast, available on iTunes later on.
Special guest Rudy Mir.
That's right, with special guest Rudy Mir, which I'll start once we're done recording this show.
Okay, awesome.
I'm not really going to start. Let's switch our attentions to the English Premier League. Your boys are second on the table now, Manchester City, after a good win over Newcastle United.
Exactly. Well, a win.
A lucky win.
It was
a good win when it's a win you probably shouldn't have had, really. I think City's penalty was dodgy, to say the least. I think A, the defender got the ball, and B, it was probably outside the area of the contact.
And it also hit the keeper on the way through.
And coupled with the fact that Newcastle United had a stonewall penalty turned down. But lovely winner from Adam Johnson.
It was brilliant. Kind of reminiscent of the one against Sunderland, except it was on the ground of the air.
So
he loves those the teams from that
up
area.
Up north, the northeast.
I was texting Neil Sherwin, because he's a City fan, and it's kind of because it's Sunderland. We what happened to Newcastle kind of happened to us. I'm like, well, now it's even, for us anyway.
Okay,
because we had a stonewall penalty turned down, and they got a pretty dodgy penalty. So,
okay,
like I said, it all evens up.
Nigel De Jong has been left out of the Dutch national team.
It was actually, he got dropped for the tackle.
Because of the tackle that he made on Hatem Ben Arfa, which broke Ben Arfa's leg, which is good to see.
Yeah,
because it was a really unnecessary challenge. He didn't need to go. It was in the middle of the park. There was no pressure on the ball. And speaking of which, did you see it? Carl Henry's for Wolves against Wigan?
I didn't.
Wolves went into the game. The last sort of month, everyone's been having a crack at Wolves, saying how dirty they are. Mm-hmm. You know, they should play football, not rugby. And especially Carl Henry, their captain, he's a filthy player. And Wolves have come out and saying, we're not dirty. Mick McCarthy, the manager, saying, you know, we're not dirty, we play football. Yes, we're a bit physical, but that's our game. Gomez from Wigan was on the ball, you know, middle of the field, 40 yards from goal, nothing really on. Carl Henry comes flying in, cleans him up. Gomez does a full 360 in the air. Lucky that he got himself off the ground, otherwise his both legs would have been snapped in half and Carl Henry was rightly sent off. So not doing themselves any favours to clean up their image. Admitted it was a red card, which shows how bad a tackle it was. Mm-hmm. City, as I said, went second. The only team that's leading them is of course, the Terminators, which are Chelsea, who are just 11 robots that take the field in blue jerseys every week. They are just unbelievable to watch. They're just such a solid unit. And two unbelievable goals to knock off Arsenal on the weekend. Didier Drogba's cheeky back heel off the inside of the post. And Alex, that free kick, I think if the net wasn't there, the ball's still moving now. That's about as hard as you can physically hit a football. Yeah. And he can hit him, Alex. He scored a few decent strikes like that. Or he's hit a few decent strikes like that. Who used to bang them in for Chelsea? Belletti. He used to tee it up from about 30 yards. He enjoyed a crack. When he hit them, they stay here. They were doing the stats before the game. And on average, like, Chelsea, their whole squad is like 3 inches taller and, you know, 5 kilos heavier than Arsenal. And it really was like, you know, a school game where the year 4 kids played the year 6 kids. Arsenal, unlucky though, played some really nice stuff.
The thing is, Arsenal, they really didn't play badly.
No.
It's Chelsea's just Chelsea. I said Arsene Wenger at the end of the match was he couldn't tell what was wrong. He's like, this is the best match we played all year.
Yeah, they're playing great stuff.
We even dominated them at stages and we came away with nothing.
Yeah.
Not even gold, not a point.
That's right.
He didn't know what else to do.
Chelsea are just such robots. The other big result from the weekend is that the situation at Liverpool just gets funnier and funnier and funnier. They lost to Blackpool. At Anfield. And the weird thing was, you could almost feel it coming while you're watching. Even at 0-0, you're like, you know what, I think Blackpool could win this. And they did.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Hammers are propping up the league again, but we won't talk about that. The more important thing is Liverpool are in the relegation zone.
Yes.
Their next game is at Everton.
Who've just had their first win.
Who've just had their first win and just climbed out of the relegation zone.
So,
I fancy Everton to win that one. It's a Merseyside derby relegation battle.
Stuck the words right out of my mouth.
And, here you go. You can have those back. I genuinely think Liverpool are in a relegation fight this season because they have got a dreadful team. Mm. They really have some poor players in that football team. I don't think Morales adds anything.
So you think it's possible that a team with Gerrard and Torres can get relegated?
Yeah, because Torres doesn't care. He's playing like he really does not want to be there. Mm-hmm. He's really out of form. He's you know, I'm sure he's trying. He's a professional. But he just looks like he doesn't care. Steven Gerrard, you know, he looks like he's just had enough.
Mm-hmm.
He was promised by Hodgson to stay at the club because it was about to turn around, and it clearly hasn't. It's got worse. You wonder how long he's going to put up with that for. Mm-hmm. It's amazing they still have Pepe Reina.
Yes.
Who is such a brilliant goalkeeper.
I think he just likes to practice, you know.
Yeah, he gets a lot of shot stopping, yeah. When Kyriakos is your best player, you're struggling. Anyway, we'll move on. We should give a few mentions on the show to, of course, footyfansdownunder.com.
Yes.
Website that's recently started putting our podcast up on their site. So if you want to listen to us via their site, you can. And check out their site while you're there. Very good site. Yes. Basically, if there is a supporters club for a football club and based down under,
You'll find them there.
Yeah. Yes. Good site. Handsonfootball.com is Terry Hands, the secretary of the Beach, who we were talking about earlier. That's his website. Yeah. So you should also check that out and see what he's all about. We'd like to thank Betfair, of course, our sponsors. Go to our website, click on the Betfair link, open up a $30 account and get a $50 free bet on anything that you choose.
It's an exclusive deal for the Football Sack listeners, so get into it because it won't last forever.
Exactly. That's probably all the people we have to thank.
Yeah, cool. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Christian, for joining me. Thank you, the listeners, for listening. We will be back
on Thursday.
Thursday.
Yes. Sort of preview the one match of the weekend.
Yeah, we can talk about the Socceroos a little bit. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so Thursday, we hope for your company.
Yes, very much
even
so.
Even though we don't actually get your company, you just listen to us later. Yeah.
Floating around.
In my mind, we have like a 20,000 audience in here.
20,000?
Yeah. That's about what our listenership is, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Just took a stab in the dark off the land. It should be more than that, really. I would like to... Oh, we're probably already way past it. I was going to say, I'd like to get a bigger listenership for us than an A-League crowd, but we're well past that. Yeah. I'd like to say, for one single episode, let's aim for more listeners...
Than an A-League crowd.
A sold-out A-League crowd.
A sold-out A-League crowd. Yeah. All right, we'll see what we can do. We'll try and beat the Melbourne Derby.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, we're going to have our work cut out because it's almost sold out.
Yeah. Funny thing on the Melbourne Derby, the amount of tickets left is the amount of people actually came to their, like, the last home game.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
4,000 tickets left. Yeah,
so if those people come back, it's sold out.
Sold out.
We'll see you Thursday, guys. Take care.